Jimmy B. Good here at WGN. Elton Jimmy, that is. No, that's Johnny B. Good.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens, there stood a log cabin.
Yeah, we lost Chuck Berry yesterday. Very sad. This guy, you know, for younger people, you need to know Chuck Berry was one of the founding fathers of rock and roll. That guitar. That guitar may sound like, well, what's the big deal? In 1958, that guitar sound was a big deal. And almost every rock and roll riff that you even hear today, people that are being written by people today, Ed Sheeran, anyone else you want to talk about, that sound, that riff, is there somewhere in it. Everybody owes a huge credit to Chuck Berry, and his influence on rock and roll cannot be overstated. And it's not like I'm some huge Chuck Berry fan. I have all of his records and know anything about him, but I do know what's important historically, and Chuck Berry is certainly somebody that should be remembered very fondly, and his contributions to rock and roll and pop culture should really be up there. I mean, certainly Elvis gets a lot of credit, the king of rock and roll and all that, but in terms of the music, the actual music writing, and that sound and that guitar playing, as I said earlier to Greg Kot from the Tribune, who we were talking about Chuck Berry, when anybody picks up a guitar to play rock music, they probably the first songs they play, the first chords they play, are this. That's rock and roll, gang. And I was actually very privileged. About 10 years ago, I did a production here in Chicago at the Mercury Theater of the Buddy Holly story. And I played the Big Bopper. And at the end of the show, we played a few rock and roll songs of the era. And one of the songs was Johnny B. Good. And I got to sing one of the verses. And so it was very cool to be on stage and singing one of the great rock and roll songs of all time. Chuck Berry should be and will be missed. And his impact on music cannot be overstated. I want to wish you a very happy St. Joseph's Day. As I said at the beginning of the show, today is March 19th. It's St. Joseph's Day, the forgotten feast day. Everybody wears green. Everybody's dyeing rivers green and corned beef this and all that. Let's not forget about St. Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, if you're a Catholic. Wearing of the red today, especially if you're Italian and Polish, or either or. I'm both. So this is a big feast day for me because St. Joseph Day tables for Italians as well as Poles are very big, where they have a whole spread of vegetarian food because obviously it's Lent, but it's a time to enjoy some great food as well as paying homage to, I feel, one of the forgotten saints. I know he didn't drive any snakes out of Ireland, but he's the foster father of Jesus. That's pretty good credibility, gang. So let's not forget St. Joseph's Day and St. Joseph's Day table. So if you're out today, wear some red. If you watch the stream, I've got my red scarf on today in honor of St. Joseph's Day. The guy just didn't get some good PR. I'm not sure what happened, but he certainly deserves it. So we are celebrating St. Patrick here on the Jim Toronto fill-in for Dean Richards today. And what we're also going to celebrate is the Pop Culture Club with my good friend Mick Kaler. How you doing, Mick?
Hey, good to hear from you, bud.
What's going on?
Well, first of all, St. Joseph's, I'm always thankful for St. Joseph's baby aspirin because when I was growing up until the time I was, I think, 22, I could not swallow aspirin or pills. For some reason, I had a fear of that. I always thought I was going to choke. So I used to have to take baby aspirin, and it was chewable, and I would take that for headaches.
And it also can thin your blood.
That's right. So thank you, St. Joseph, for all of that.
So
really
St. Joseph's Day still not only helped you as your child, but it can even help you today from getting a stroke.
There you go.
There you go. Well, we are in the Pop Culture Club, so here's the official theme. And, of course, I play some Culture Club because this is the Pop Culture Club.
That's it.
So we were going to talk initially about Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Fallon. I want to talk about that. But I wanted to give you a chance to weigh in on Chuck Berry and the loss and how important he was to music.
Well, like you said, he was this founding father. I mean, they always say Elvis was the king of rock and roll, and I had, you know, I always said two things. First of all, if Elvis is the king, then Chuck is the father of rock and roll, you know, the real foundation building it all out. And the other thing is, let's be honest, I mean, he was a good-looking guy. Had Chuck Berry been
brown, a brown-haired, handsome man.
Yeah, and had Chuck Berry been white, he would have been the king of rock and roll.
Oh, yeah.
No question.
Oh, definitely.
And God bless Elvis, and I love Elvis, too. And the other thing, you know, you kept talking about his guitar sound and how he duck-walked and all those things. Everybody forgets those lyrics. Those lyrics were so clever. You know, the way he wrote and the way he rhymed things and the meter of songs like Roll Over Beethoven, Tell Tchaikovsky the News, you know, Johnny Be Good and rock and roll music. And my very favorite, Memphis, where three verses into the song, you think that he's singing about Marie, his girlfriend or wife that he misses. And then at the end, it's his daughter because he and his wife have split up. I mean, just
and Maybelline, his first hit is about a car.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the other thing. And
oh, I've Maybelline, why can't you be true?
Yeah, and the other thing, I've seen interview pieces, you know, of Chuck where he talked about, you know, cars and women. I mean, he knew it from the get-go that writing about songs about cars and women were going to get you somewhere. And, gee, I wonder if Bruce Springsteen ever figured that one out. Yeah, I think he did.
So. You think so? Well, here's the one thing that I also think it's important to mention about this from Chicago standpoint. Chuck Berry was from St. Louis, but he came up to Chicago, which was natural. A lot of times, you know, that's where the great blues tradition of Chicago
right.
came because many African-Americans came from the South and came to Chicago for jobs, but they brought their guitars and their memories of the very difficult South of slavery to Chicago. And thus, with thanks to Chess Records on the South Side, they were given a voice. And Chuck Berry came up to Chicago in the mid-50s and auditioned for Leonard Chess, one of the Chess brothers, for their label. And all of his major hits were on Chess Records right here in Chicago.
Yeah, in fact, one of the pieces I saw earlier this morning was Chuck Berry talking about he came up to Chess Records and they asked, you know, what kind of songs do you have? Do you have four songs for us? He says, well, I have six songs for you. And one of them was Maybelline.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah. They hear that and they go, okay, I think this guy's pretty good.
So it should be known that Chicago plays a not only, you know, is it a, you know, a big place in terms of the blues, but given Chuck Berry's influence, it certainly has its place in the beginnings of rock and roll. Now, certainly Memphis and Sun Records, run by San Phillips, a lot of these small independent labels, you know, that's where Elvis started, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, Roy Orbison. That's where you get the Million Dollar Quartet show.
Right.
That theater show is based on when all those guys came together at Sun Records. And Sun Records and Memphis and Sam Phillips have done a much better job as a city and as a community of embracing and making Sun Records a definite destination.
Right.
When you go to Memphis, I've been to Sun Records a couple of times. Both
I've been there too, and I was down there for a St. Jude thing. And
yeah,
it's a big deal. And again, Chess is kind of ignored.
And I know it's a museum, but people don't go on buses. They don't come from their town just to visit Chess Records, and they should.
Right, I agree. I totally agree. Like I said, Chuck Berry was just such a big part of that. And again, like, you know, everyone's been writing, you know, Beach Boys, Springsteen, Beatles, Stones, and as you said, anyone who picked up a guitar, it's like, I'm going to do the duck walk. I'm going to twang it out like Chuck Berry. And he was just amazing. So,
well, not only that, but as I said to Greg Codd earlier, look at the first several Beatles albums. It is filled with Chuck Berry covers.
Right.
And you know, in fact, didn't he write Surfer Girl?
I'm not sure.
Or a version of Surfer Girl, I believe. Or Surfin' USA, I mean.
Okay, yeah.
And that's where Brian Wilson got the idea.
Right, and you hear that same jangle, that did-it-it-it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there's that. And then one other thing I'm going to point out is about the Chuck Berry song, You Never Can Tell. Years later, I Knew the Bride When She Used to Rock and Roll basically was a total ripoff.
Nick Lowe.
Can Tell. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know You Never Can Tell, check out your movie Pulp Fiction, because that's the song that John Travolta and Uma Thurman do the dance
right.
twist contest
yeah.
to.
Yeah, no, I mean, Chuck Berry just, and like I said, Chicago, I love this city. I've been here my whole life. We were always talking about tourism. I know that Chess Records is a museum, but we need to fully embrace it, that area, and make that a destination, because people love rock and roll. And,
sure.
And as I said, there's a line around the block to go to see Sun Records in Memphis, and Chess Records has just as much, if not more, of a historical part to play in modern music, and we should really embrace it. We always say, oh, Chicago, home of the blues, but do we really mean it?
Right. Yeah, people talk about the clubs and things like
yeah.
that. It's like, folks, you can visit Navy Pier, you can visit Millennium Park, but get yourself to Chess Records, okay?
Yeah. So do yourself a favor today, folks, and go on iTunes or go on YouTube and hit some Chuck Berry songs, Sweet Little 16, Roll Over Beethoven, Johnny Be Good, No Particular Place to Go, Maybelline, even his bad novelty hit from the 70s, My Ding-a-ling.
My Ding-a-ling, I was just thinking about that one. Well, you know, the other thing, too, and when I looked at that body of work that Chuck Berry made, especially in those early days, it reminds me of the body of work in country music that Hank Williams made, and Hank Williams didn't even live to see 30.
Right.
And it was like Chuck was just so prolific in putting this stuff out. It's like, I hope you guys appreciate this, because this, like I said, is the foundation of rock and roll.
Yeah, definitely is. We're doing a quick break, and we'll be back talking to Michaela about some interesting doings in the late-night TV wars.
Got it.
Yeah, the Hawks want to win home ice advantage for the playoffs, and that means every game counts. Tonight, it's the Blackhawks and the Avalanche at 6 o'clock right here. Oh, I'm sorry, on it's on WGN Radio as well, and also on WGN TV Sports. I'm Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards. We'll be back right after this. No switching. Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards this morning here at, this afternoon at WGN, talking to Mick Kaler on the phone in the Pop Culture Club. Mick's work can be heard on a regular basis on WGN TV Morning News. Right, Mick?
Got a few parody songs here and there that myself and Al Flash put together, and we put videos on. And we've got a couple of them stored up for the Blackhawks playoff run already, so we're getting ready.
Well, as I said earlier in the show, just want to shout out to Rocky Wirtz and John McDonough and Jay Blunk of the Blackhawks, the brain trust there. Don't make any vacation plans for June.
Yeah, no vacation plans, no bar mitzvahs.
Yeah,
no
I
wedding,
believe
no
they're going to be working in June. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I wanted to say one thing real quickly about Chuck Berry. We're talking about his influence. Don't forget the key moment in Back to the Future.
Right, when Michael J. Fox jams on the guitar.
When he jams on the guitar, folks, he's playing Chuck Berry. He's doing
right.
Chuck Berry. He's even doing the duck walk. If you remember, then they cut to a guy backstage who calls his cousin Chuck and says, listen to this.
Yeah.
So the Chuck Berry reference is real, and it is certainly something to recognize and celebrate. So we remember the great career of Chuck Berry, who passed away on Saturday at age 90. In our few remaining minutes here, Mick, I just wanted to get talk very quickly in the pop culture world. You may hate Donald Trump, you may hate his politics, you may hate everything about him, but if you like Stephen Colbert, you have to love Donald Trump.
Oh yeah, it's been like a gold mine.
Because Donald Trump has been the only thing that was able for Stephen Colbert to overtake Jimmy Fallon in the late night ratings. Donald Trump.
Well, it's funny because years ago, back in the 90s, when Jay Leno overtook Letterman when he had Hugh Grant on after he got busted for being with that streetwalker.
Denise Brown or something like that?
Yeah.
Something Brown.
And took up with her. Donald Trump has become this for Stephen Colbert, because now everybody wants to hear comedy as well as pointed comments regarding what's going on in the world.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Fallon, as soon as he took over for Jay Leno, went right to the top of the ratings. His show is really not in the normal late night talk show vein. If you know Jimmy Fallon, his strengths are imitations and, I guess, party games.
Right, party games and also kissing up to celebrities.
Yeah, and so I appreciate his talent. He does very good impersonations, don't get me wrong. But I was never a huge Jimmy Fallon fan, and the fact of just doing beer pong and all these things to me was just a way to say, I can't sit down with a celebrity and really talk interesting with them, so let me just put them in some other light and we'll have fun and play games, and that's fine. But I think that runs thin, and Stephen Colbert, who was everybody's, you know, kind of political mind when he played that character on the Colbert Show, the Colbert Report, Now he's going back to politics, and it's coming up big for him.
Yeah, it is. And the one other thing that people forget, okay, Jimmy Fallon was really kissing up to Trump when the election was going
on. He got a lot of heat for that. Remember, he ruffled his hair?
Right, yeah, he did all that stuff, and it was just, you know, and I mean, Fallon kisses up to all his guests. He's never going to, you know, cross anybody or even give a pointed question. But, and I'm not saying people are holding the grudge, but it's like Jimmy's kind of painted himself in that corner of, hey, I'm with Donald Trump, and now there are a lot of people, like you said, who are looking at the presidency and what's going on. And I think part of it is they realize, you know what, this is real. This is really happening. This is our president. This is what he's saying. This is what he's doing. And there's someone on TV who's got interesting things to make comments and, again, a few jokes about, and that's Colbert.
Yeah, and Colbert does have the credit of from the Colbert Report, even though he sort of played the character of a way right-wing conservative. But at the same time, at least he has some cred. Jimmy Fallon shies away from anything kind of controversial. He's kind of like a puppy dog, just always wanting your acceptance. And
yeah.
So when he tries to be a little biting with his political humor, it just doesn't land. And so I think what's so interesting about this, too, is just about 3 or 4 months ago, Stephen Colbert's job was probably on the line. James Corden was so popular with that that car karaoke shtick that they were saying that James Corden would probably take over for Colbert because his ratings just were not cutting it against Jimmy Fallon. And then Trump takes over, and literally from January 20th, from the inauguration day, that day forward, Stephen Colbert has beat Jimmy Fallon on a regular basis, if not every night.
Well, like I said, the worm has turned, and again, this is serious business. And I mean, you know, I guess in the Obama years, it was, you know, everything's okay, everything's fun, we'll get through everything. And it was, you know, Jimmy Fallon's humor and his approach was probably more welcomed than it is right now because people are really paying attention to what's happening in the news. And again, Colbert is the guy that's got a lot of interesting comments and take on it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Mick Kaler, a noted radio producer here in Chicago. And as I said, you could hear his parody song work very regularly on WGN Morning News on TV on Channel 9. So, Mick, once again, always fun to talk pop culture with you. Thanks for checking in on this Sunday.
You bet, pal. Have a good day.
Okay, you too, Mick. I am Elton Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards here. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we'll get to the news. But right now, we're going to take a break, so no switching.